The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, Beth offers help to make it past our mistakes.
Of all the reasons why I love God, that's one of the top ones on the list. That even in all my stupidity, God works with me to heal me because He loves me and He delights in me. And you need to know that thing that keeps getting us into a mess doesn't just need correction, it needs healing.
Victory through chastisements. Next.
Thank you so much for joining us on Life Today. It's that special day, Wednesdays with Beth. I'm Betty Robinson, and this is James.
And on the back of this book, Beth Moore wrote, I love that James did this book. Now, you may wonder why she would say that when on the cover of the book, there's a little black dachshund chasing a little rabbit. Well, if you know anything about Beth, you know how much she loves dogs. And I'm telling you, I mean, Sheila, you know one of the things that Beth and Keith knew? They knew that we were close, mm-hmm. I mean, with them mm-hmm. as couples. But they had a big bird dog named Beanie. I mean, he's like 70-pounder. Well, the first time I met Keith, Beanie bit me. Didn't mean to. He just kind of snapped at me because I had this little dachshund in my arms. And they had a little feud. And I got a little... And so Beth calls Keith, said, James and Betty get there? And Keith says, yep. And Beanie just bit James. Oh, she said, like, had a heart attack. Here he is putting me on worldwide television and my dog bites him. We went to stay with them in their little cabin where Beth wrote a lot of the books. And she knew Betty and James were best friends with them when Beanie jumped up in my lap, all 70 pounds of him, and just curled up. And I just made him so comfortable. She said, now there's a man of God if I've ever seen one. Well, listen to me. This little dachshund taught life lessons. This book is filled with lessons for life that we learn from our pets, literally. You're going to love this. Betty, everywhere I've gone, oh, by the way, there she is driving the truck. That's our little dachshund. Literally, that's a drawing of her driving my pickup truck. Every time we get with these little pets or we observe wildlife, we learn life lessons. And I want you to get this. Great gift for this time of the year. We're asking you to help us save lives by giving them a bowl of food, somebody that needs it. You're going to want to do that. Here's Beth talking about how we learn life lessons through chastisement. Correction. Here's Beth. Welcome her.
Number one was what? Do not take it lightly. Am I stepping in that with me? Number two, but don't lose heart over it. Don't lose heart over it. I love the balance of the Word of God and what He teaches us because He says, let me tell you something, fear me over this, but you better know how much I love you. You got to know how much I love you. Do not lose heart in this process. It says it next, right after it says, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. It says, and do not lose heart when He rebukes you. Do not lose heart. This is a God who loves you. I want you to hear Proverbs 3. Jot down this address, Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. I want to just speak this over somebody listening and somebody watching. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12 say this. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Now, this is the inspired writer of the book of Hebrews is quoting this very verse. And do not resent His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves as a father the son He delights in. Do you know that God disciplines those He delights in? When it's hard, go, thank you, God, you delight in me. You delight in me. God goes, you know what? You are so delightful to me. I would like for you to learn how to be a delight to others. Amen. You know what I'm saying? I really love you. I really love you, and I really like to put you in a real lovable state so that you can just be a delight to people, such a delight to me. And I'm going to go with you through this process so that you can become the person that I know you are. I know you're this. I know the real you. I know the real you. And you can trust me, I'm building you into the real you. He disciplines those he delights in. Now, number three is this. We just got to humble ourselves and receive it. Just humble ourselves and receive it. Let me tell you something. God is drawn to humility. He says over and over again, I will oppose the proud, but boy, I will esteem the humble. I will give grace to the humble. I will give grace to the humble. He says in 1 Peter 5, 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. I need somebody to listen. I don't care how many times you've heard it. Listen to what I'm saying. It is a promise in the Word of God. If you will humble yourself before him under his mighty hand, you don't have to entrust yourself to anybody else's mighty hand. You know what I'm saying? And I don't mean we're never under authority. I just mean it's God we're talking about here. You just press yourself down under the mighty hand of God, and he promises you, based on the authority of his Word, he is going to pick you up. In due time, when time comes due, when the process is complete and he can entrust you with the power that he wants to give you. I tell you, as a parent of two young adult daughters, when I was raising my young children, nothing tendered me to that child more than when I could tell that child was just trying to submit and have a sweet spirit during a time when they were grounded. If they stayed rebellious with me, I can't tell you how many times I go, you know what? You're grounded tomorrow, too. You might know what I'm talking about. Just burned me up. Just burned me up. Because you're not done, but you said 3 days, you know what? I want to see the right attitude. I still don't see the attitude I'm looking for. I see no humility out of you. I see somebody sassy in you. And we're not done yet. We're not done yet. But when I say, I can't tell you, there have been times that I've gone, you know what, we're going to be done with this a day early. Because it's just a sweet, submissive spirit. Just somebody that can go, Mom, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I don't mind staying at home. Why don't we make popcorn? Well, then I just want to go, you can go. Because your heart's right. I love that. Tenders you. People respect seeing somebody that can just humble themselves under a time of dealing with consequences. Go be part of a local body. Hold your head up. You have the right to worship your God in spirit and in truth. Let's just not be fake about it. Let's just worship him from the pain and the consequences we're in. Let's go to the altar. Let's let people pray over us. Let's just be out there with it. That's going to be the process right there. Out there in the light with the Lord Jesus. This I'm just dying for you to see because this was huge to me. When I was putting this lesson together, never put these two pieces together. Number four is this. Never lose sight of the ultimate goal of all chastisement. Never lose sight of the ultimate goal of all chastisement. We talked about how all discipline is toward, or correction is toward instruction, but I want you to see the ultimate thing that God is after. And I'm telling you, I nearly just jumped out of my skin when this began to surface on the page. Look at verses 12 and 13 again in Hebrews 12. It says this, therefore strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees, make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Healed. The ultimate goal of all chastisement, of every single disciplinary season we'll go through when we're dealing with all manner of consequence that we know we helped ask for. The ultimate goal that God always has in mind, somebody celebrate it with me today, is he's looking to heal us. He's looking to heal us, that the end result is for us to be healed. I got chill bumps all under this wool coat. I mean, chill bumps. That to me, that of all the reasons why I love God, that's one of the top ones on the list. That even in all my stupidity, God works with me to heal me because he loves me and he delights in me. And you need to know that that's the way he feels about you. Because let me tell you something. Think with me here. That thing that keeps getting us into a mess doesn't just need correction. It needs healing. Listen. Every fault line is a broken place. Every fault line is a broken place. Remember when we talk about having to own up to what's our fault? Okay, that one, whoa. That was my fault. That was my fault. Here's what God knows, that every fault line is a broken place. In other words, when I just keep doing that over and over again, something's broken. Something is broken and it needs healing. I can't tell you the joy that came to me and just the relief is the word I'm looking for. The relief that came to me when I realized after I was one of those people, I just was drawn to the pit. And just back in, I worn out so badly, I had a heart for God. But I'd get in a mess again, find myself in a heap of sin again, and then out, then in, then out, then in, then out, then in. And I can't tell you what it meant to me when I realized that God was not only saying, you know, He wasn't only just picking out my sin. He was showing me my brokenness. Baby girl, you've been hurt, and you need some healing. You work with me. And I will heal you. Son, I will heal you. The ultimate result of it is always to bring us healing. Listen to this translation. This is one of my commentators one of my commentaries at home, where he translates the Greek in some of his own renderings of it. And I want you to hear how he says it. Wherefore, straighten out the limp hands and the paralyzed knees and make straight paths for your feet in order that, see, he says that there's a definite article, and indeed there is in the Greek, a definite article before lame. He's saying that in order that the lame thing may not get turned wrong, but rather be cured. I want to read that again. In order that the lame thing may not get turned wrong, but rather cured. What is it? And it's different for you than it is for me. What is the lame thing? What got broken? What broke it? God will give us listen, brothers and sisters, God will give us insight into that. What got splintered? What's been shattered? What is the lame thing that keeps getting us over on that path that leads us to destruction over and over again? He knows what it is. He knows what it is. He wants us to know so that we can be cured, so that we can be cured. I want you to look back at something else. Look in verse 11. Oh, I'll tell you. I just cannot express to you how much I want to see somebody get set free today. I want you to notice these words as it says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. Trained by it simply means that we learned it. We went through the process of it. Like athletes, we were trained by it, and it brings a harvest of peace and righteousness. Now, you're thinking, Beth, that's good. That's fine. Sounds real religious, but I'm not really getting why it's so important to us. I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to read you just a little portion out of Galatians chapter 6 that says this in verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please the sinful nature, from that nature he will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Listen carefully. It is the natural order of things, the natural law that God has set up as boss. You'll reap what you sow. You'll reap what you sow. For some of us that have a very sinful past, we're going, oh, Lord, have mercy. There's a lot of hopelessness in that. Listen to me carefully. I want somebody to get them a revelation today. The only thing that can change how this harvest turns out is cooperating with God and letting Him bring you through it with your knees down and your chin up. That which you normally should have outright in the natural order of things have sown and reaped. Suddenly the worst thing that has ever happened in your life instead reaps a harvest of peace and righteousness. This is the only, I need somebody to get this with me. This is the only thing that will change what you reap out of that situation. when we're going through a time of consequences, if we just let it be consequences, all in the world we're going to get out of it is just what that action deserved. Do you understand what I'm saying? But if we let God take it over and we cooperate with Him as a dearly loved child, knowing that He's after teaching us and curing us and healing us and putting us back together again, then that which should have deserved X instead gets A. Anybody get what I'm saying? It is the only thing that will change what is harvested out of the worst mistake of your life. You can let how this turns out be redeemed. But if we don't cooperate with Him, even if we're His child, but we just don't cooperate with Him, we just stay in our denial or we stay in our despair, we're just going to get what would come. But if we let Him have it, and we trust Him, and know we are loved by Him and a delight to Him, God will change the harvest into peace and righteousness. I love what the Apostle Paul said. I've thought it so many times about my own life in 1 Corinthians 4:4. Paul said about himself, "My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me." Listen, there's nothing innocent about my past. Nothing. Nothing. I don't even remember innocence when I was 3 years old, for crying out loud. But I can tell you this. Today, after where I've been with God, as much sin as in my background, my conscience is clear. God and I have done the thing together. Went through some very, very hard things. I've embarrassed myself. I've caused some consequences to come about that have been extremely painful. But you know what? My God and I have gone through it together. And after where I've been and all I've done, my conscience is clear today to stand up before you and serve you, not as someone who has been innocent, but someone who has been healed. Healed. The chastisement was the very thing God used to heal me. Praise you.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
I think one of the most effective things perhaps any of us can do, and I know you would agree as you've listened to Beth, that when you hear her talk out of her brokenness, out of her own journey, there's healing in that. And in the correction that God brings and the trials that we go through, if we really understand the purpose of God to shape Christ in us, to take that clay and make it a vessel of honor, and then, as I've said many times, if you're in the hand of God and you feel pressure, which could be correction or challenges, tough circumstances, if you're in the hand of God, the pressure either comes from the fingers of God are filtered through the fingers of God for divine purpose. I think that's what Beth is trying to help us all understand. Betty and I communicate consistently and with great conviction, hopefully with the compassion that we know God's put in our heart and that it's obvious. We always encourage you to live beyond your world and make differences in the lives of others. We have found people who get involved giving life to people who are losing their life, who face death, starvation, pain. Giving them life and love is one of the greatest experiences you can have in life. Giving life is life-giving. I want you to listen to one of our friends and supporters that I think is typical of many of you and hopefully would be typical of all of you. Listen to Steve Martinez.
He's the owner of a highly successful tortilla business. But nearly a decade ago, Steve Martinez helped feed people in very different and desperate circumstances.
Well, I worked for Life Outreach. I worked with them for 7 years, was on the mission field feeding children. So I got to see where the money was going, how much of an impact it was making.
While Steve and his wife, Sarah, have always supported mission feeding, over time, much of their attention shifted to raising two young boys, until they recently saw a little boy named Lazarus on a Life Today program.
He's 5 years old, and he was laying there in bed. on his deathbed. He was skin and bones. And Janice, the photographer for Life Outreach, snapped some pictures of him. And on the camera, there's a viewfinder. And the little boy asked, can I see the picture? And so she turned the camera to him to show him. And he just looked at it. And we just lost it. Because how many times have our kids, my little five-year-old boy Maverick has asked me, Daddy, can I see the picture? Can I see it? And so my wife and I really felt like the Lord showed us a part of his heart for these children. And he led me to a scripture in Ezekiel that talks about Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord says of Sodom and Gomorrah, their sin was being overfed and unconcerned, and they did not remember the poor or the needy.
As Steve's thriving factory continues to churn out thousands of tortillas each day, he is directing even more of his profits to food factories half a world away.
These kids don't need a cure, they just need food. My wife and I support Life Outreach because we have seen the need firsthand, and we know how effective Life Outreach has been in meeting that need.
I want to just say thank you, Steve, you and Sarah. But I wish I could call all of you who are watching and all of you who've ever helped by name and say thank you. And I would like to be able to say thank you to those of you who've never helped, but you're about to. I want you to look at little Lazarus again. I want you to look at his little body. And as you look at that precious little boy, we all prayed. What Lazarus needs is a resurrection. Not from the dead, but from the death he's facing. And Betty, I mean, it was quite a miracle when Jesus raised Lazarus. I don't think we have to have as great a miracle, but we have to have a great one. It's called the miracle of love. A love for a little life that, through whatever circumstances, brought him to that place. And there's thousands of kids right now, not all of them quite at that place. We try to hit it off before they get there. But our mission feeding programs have saved now over 10 million lives that we know of. And we've led that many people to the Lord in the areas where we've been feeding. It's really remarkable. Because when you show people love, then they want to hear the story of love, God's love. So what we need our viewers to do, Betty, right now is to go to the phone and do what Steve and Sarah do, and that's make the best gift you can, but I've got good news. We just had an offer of a food grant of $3.8 million. If we can come up, in addition to the hundreds of thousands of kids that we're trying to raise money to feed right now and keep the missionaries there, and it takes $30, $50, or $100 to feed 3, 5, or 10 children for the next several months. But we can get this $3.8 million food grant, which just assists everything we're doing, if we can come up with another $640,000 to guarantee the delivery of it. And that means we're going to have some more transport, we're going to have some more workers in place. And we've got to let them know soon, because you see, if they put it out, they got to know it's got to be delivered. I'm glad. That's the way governments or any nation ought to be when they say, okay, this is a nation that we're going to do something for the poor, and we believe your people, your workers, will deliver it. Well, that's where you come in. What you give right now, in the last days of this mission feeding emphasis, it'll be multiplied 6 times. That means a $1,000 gift immediately, $6,000 in its effect. $100, $600. $50, $300. Would you dial the number and take your bank card and use it like a check? That's how you should always use it. But would you do it right now? I mean, if you have to run to get it and come back, get the number written down, call it, and say, here it is, the best gift I can. Lord, I pray you'll direct each person in what they're to give and give them joy doing it. In Jesus' name, would you do it? Would you love Lazarus and others like him and keep others from getting there and give them a chance at life so we can tell them about the greatest source of love and life in demonstration? In deed, not just in word. You can go online, lifetoday.org, make your gift. You can make a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us you're mailing it. We have some special gifts for you to bless you, and they will. Thank you for blessing others. Thank you so much for going to the phone.
At this very moment, children are drawing what could be their last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Today, you can help stop the cycle of death. You can help save a life. Life's Mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of 400,000 suffering children in remote areas of Africa. And now we have a miracle opportunity. A $3.8 million food grant has been offered to us for our mission and relief efforts. All we have to do is guarantee we can deliver the food at a cost of $640,000. This means your gift today can now have six times the impact. $30 to help feed three children can have a $180 impact. $50 for five children can have a $300 impact. And $100 to help feed 10 children can have a $600 impact for feeding. With your gift, you can receive James Robison's newest book, God of All Creation. Through his personal observations of animals and wildlife, James shares heartwarming stories and spiritual lessons of God's love and grace. With your gift of $125 to help feed 10 children, you may request the new Jesus Calling Devotional Bible, featuring 260 scripture insights from the author of the Jesus Calling Devotional, Sarah Young. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help save the lives of 100 children, which today can have a $6,000 impact. And you may also request the Lion and the Lamb bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
You know, we just have a few days left now to get all the necessary support. We really need to hear from you. And I hope many of you will get the Lion and the Lamb bronze. I'm anxious to send you the beautiful devotional Bible with the missionary Sarah Young's devotions all through it. It's absolutely beautiful. And then, of course, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, the God of all creation, life lessons we learn from pets and wildlife. You're going to treasure this. You're going to want to get copies and pass it on as gifts at this time of the year, holiday season. Thank you so much for helping us share life. It's really important that we hear from you. And we thank you for sharing. God bless all of you.
Tomorrow, in 2011, a short flight turned into a tragedy when Lauren Scruggs was struck by the plane's spinning propeller blades. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.